presentation. So the topic of my talks will be the multi-scale modeling of the respiratory system. So first I will show you a picture. Some of them you already saw this morning. So the respiratory system enables gas exchange. The air goes from mouth, nose, and trachea down to the bronchial tree. And at the end of this bronchial tree, you have the alveoli unit where the diffusion takes place. And here is the cut of the lung parenchyma. The lung parenchyma is the tissue surrounding the whole tree. And this is a viscoelastic tissue made of collagen fiber where you have a blood vessel. So you see the structure is quite complex. And we would like to split it in a compartment or in the different zones in order to model each of these zones. For instance, in order to have to perform 3D numerical simulation on the proximal part of the respiratory tract. So, as I said, so this is the famous picture from Weibull. So you see all those bronchi, and we would like to have a model that enables us to treat, for instance, to deal with some aspect of asthma crisis, or for instance, asthma crisis, you can will modify the resistance of the small bronchi. And we would like also to have some tools in order to model fibrosis or emphysema that affect the elastic behavior of the lung tissue of the parenchyma. So the strategy is the following. Due to different mechanical behaviors in the different parts of the respiratory system, we will consider that in the proximal part up to the seventh generation, we have a viscous and compressible flow. So we will perform 3D numerical simulations in this part. Next, you have substrees made of small bronchi where the velocity is low and where we can consider that the flow is laminar, so that in each tube the Poiseuille law is satisfied. And we would like also to have a simple model in order to represent the motion of the elastic media, and for instance the diaphragm muscles, which is the driven force of breathing, of the respiration. So the goals are to obtain simple but representative models in order to model each mechanical behavior in each zone. And then to couple each of these models one to each other, or to derive well-chosen boundary conditions in order to take into account the part we didn't take into account. So this is a strategy that is used for years in blood flow modeling, where you have which you derive well adapted boundary conditions. So first, so there will be three parts in my talk. First, really simple viscoelastic model for the lung parenchyma. This is a joint work with Bertrand Maury, who will talk right after, and Nicolas Monnier. We were interested to better understand what is the effect of the network on the elastic behavior of the parenchyma. In the second part, I will present a model in order to model the airflow in the proximal part, so the upper part of the respiratory tract, taking into account the motion of the parenchyma, which is, as I said before, the driven force. And then I will. So the third point is an ongoing work. It's part of a PhD thesis which is supervised by Marcel Filoche and Laurent Desvillettes about health plan modeling. So we would like to obtain health plan coupling in order to know where the particles deposit in the lung. So first, we are going to consider that the parenchyma is the 1D, and a succession of mass related by spring, and between this spring, you have fluid, and this fluid comes from a dyadic tree, and we would like to know what is the effect of the dissipation, what form takes the dissipation in the behavior of this elastic structure. So first, we start by look at the relation between the pressure at the outlet and the velocity flux at the outlet of this tree. So we assume that each tube in the network is characterized by a resistance. So in each tube you have the Poisson law we saw this morning. So and this resistance we assume it to be constant by generation. So what is the relation between the flux velocity of the outlet and the pressure of the outlet? So this is a linear relation. For instance, assume you have a flux one there and at the inlet and one at this outlet and zero at every other outlet. Then you can compute easily the pressure. So the pressure at this node will be L0. The pressure at this all pressure to this part of the tree will be also L0 because there is no flux in this part. The pressure at this part due to the Poisson law, which is verified in this tube, is L0 plus L1. And so the pressure on this part of the tree is also L0 plus L1 and so on. And you can do it for every vector field at the outlet. So there is a linear relation between the flux and the pressure that depends on the resistance and that depends on the distance between two points in the 0-1 segment, but the distance is viewed through the dyadic tree. So now our purpose was to look at the limit when the number of generation goes to infinity, the number of generation of the tree. So we wrote, so we consider U, and it's average, it's integral over a cell, the cell. So this will be the vector of flux. And the relation between the flux and the pressure can be written really easily thanks to this relation where you see this kernel. And this kernel is as this form where you see all the resistance and the dyadic structure. So this is, you have to this is X and Y. So as the number of generation goes to infinity, the kernel converge almost everywhere. And the question was, so I will skip maybe that. So we can associate to this kernel an operator. So we will call it Rn, and this operator converges in the sense of limit operator if the total resistance, the equivalent resistance of the tree, is finite. So if this converge. So you have some property of the limit operator. You have a convolution-like property. The limit operator is compact, self-adjoint, and monotone. And the eigenfunction of the limit operator is the R basis, and the angular value associated to this R basis are the rest of the series here. So in the case where the total resistance, the equivalent resistance of the tree diverge, then there is everything blows up and you have this type of convergence. So the case of the geometric tree, so we saw this morning that there is an homothetic relation between the resistance of the long tree. And so in the human lung, we saw that alpha, so compared to what was said this morning, alpha is one over h to the power three. And h, the optimal h was, I don't remember, this one, which will correspond to alpha equal two. And so the h in the lung is equal to this quantity, which will correspond to alpha less than two. So in the case of a geometric tree, then we have convergence of this operator as the number of generation goes to infinity. And in the case where alpha equal two, then in fact here this is the L1 norm of the kernel is in fact the equivalent resistance, and so everything blows in the limit. So as I said, alpha equal 2 correspond to the optimal coefficient, that is the minimizer of the global resistance under a volume constraint. So in this case, in the case of the optimal coefficient, we cannot pass to the limit as the number of generation, but it was said this morning by Bernard Sapoval. So now the mass spring system. So you have each mass, and they are separated by holes in which you have air. So you have air pockets, and each mass are linked by springs. And so the motion. So UI is the motion of the one mass. So you have the fundamental relation of mechanics. Mn is the mass of each particle. Kn is the spring stiffness. And you have on each of this mass a pressure that is exerted. And this pressure comes from the fluid which circulates in the tree. So as n goes to infinity, we can show some bounds on the displacement of each of the mass, and we can show that the system converges to this wave-like equation. So here you have the acceleration, here the stiffness due to the spring, and here you have the effect of the tree on the elastic behavior of the parenchyma. So you have a dissipative non-local effect for this equation. And what is interesting is that in the case where the resistance where as n goes to infinity is not finite, then everything is blocked at the initial condition. So un will converge towards the initial condition. So you cannot breathe in this case. The parenchyma motion is completely block. Yes.
Yes. What is the physical meaning of y?
Here.
So this is integrating over generations over.
No, this is integrating over. You have. This is a really simple model where you have a 1D, okay. 1D wave equation. So. Zero is here, one is here, and you put masses and you increase the number of masses and springs and so the number of the generation also. And from the numerical point of view, if you discretize this equation, in fact this is equivalent to solve this equation. And in the case of this is a finite tree there, and in this case we see that if alpha is equal to 2, then numerically everything is blocked, even if we are not at the limit when the number of generation goes to infinity. So this is only a toy model. What remains to be done is to obtain a model like this in three dimensions. I have to mention that we have studied the long time behavior of solution of this model. So is the dissipation enough in order to make the energy decrease as time goes to infinity? And the partial answer we have with Christian Vanier is that if alpha, so in the case of the geometrical tree, if alpha is greater than 1 and less than 2, then you will have an exponential decay of the energy of the system. So in the case of the Lung, which will correspond to the Lung parameter, we have an exponential decay. In collaboration with Axel Osses, Yumade, and Rodin Rugafico, we derive a model of the parenchyma, assuming that the alveoli are not linked by a tree. But in this study, so we have an elastic body with holes in which we have a perfect fluid, and these holes are periodically included in the domain, and thanks to an homogeneous process, we obtain a model at the limit. And the remark is that if you don't consider for parameter that corresponds to parameter of the elasticity of the lung parenchyma, if you don't to consider or not flow fluid in the hole, change the homogeneized solution. So here I mentioned related works. I think Bertrand will speak about this one next, and the work of Ajdou, Sabo, and Chou. So next, the second part. So I will focus on the airflow in the proximal part. So here, as I said before, we will assume that the Navier-Stokes equation are true. So it seems that this is valid for respiration at rest, because instability seems to not to develop because of the oscillatory motion of the air. So so we will consider u is the velocity, rho the density, mu the viscosity, p the pressure, u is divergence free because we assume that we have incompressibility. On the lateral boundary, we assume that the fluid sticks to the lateral boundary, so we will not have fluid structure interaction. We assume that the wall of the bronchial tree are fixed. And at the outlet and at the inlet, we consider Neumann boundary condition. So we will fix, for instance, P0 at the inlet, and Pi will be unknown of our problem coming from another model. So in each substrate now, we will assume that the flow is laminar and characterized by an equivalent resistance. So you have the generalized Poisson law, where you have the equivalent resistance, the flux, and the difference of the pressure. Here we can imagine other type of relation between the flux and the drop of pressure. This has been done for flow modeling by, for instance, Irène Vignon during her PhD, or even the team of Quartioli. And so the boundary conditions that arise from this relation are the following. You have Neumann-like boundary condition with a non-local term here. Next, we will assume that all those pressure are equal to the alveolar pressure, which is assumed to be uniform in the parenchyma. And this alveolar pressure will act on the, will be a force on the diaphragm, on the diaphragms. And we will assume that the diaphragm motion is only described by 1 degree of freedom, which is x, and we will assume that we have a simple spring model in order to describe the motion of the parenchyma, and here k will be the spring stiffness, and is here to describe the elastic, the compliance of the lung tissue. Moreover, we assume that the parenchyma and the flow, the flow is incompressible, but we assume that the parenchyma is also incompressible. So this is an assumption that seems quite valid, since the parenchyma is made of blood, and due to this conservation, we can link the variation of volume of this box to the flux at the inlet. So the couple problem is the following, and you have this multiscale, so 3D, then 0D, then 1D, 1D, 0D equation in order to model the motion of the parenchyma and the diaphragm motions. So what are the coefficients we will have to fit in order to obtain a relevant numerical simulation? You have to fit the external forces applied to the diaphragm muscle. And those resistance may be changed in order, for instance, to take into account the effect of an asthma crisis that increases those resistance. And we can also play with this coefficient in order, for instance, to try to mimic what happened in emphysema or fibrosis. This was only a remark that we can put on we can view this system as a Navier-Stokes system with unusual, and we say, boundary condition where the equation of the spring appears. So as a mathematician, I like to know if the problem are well posed or not. So the first step is the energy balance. So you multiply the Navier-Stokes equation by U and then integrate over the domain. You multiply the spring equation by the velocity of the spring, and then add those two contributions, and you arrive to this energy balance where you have the derivation of the with respect to time to the kinetic energy, the dissipation within the fluid, the dissipation due to the substrates, and the flux of kinetic energy at the inlets and outlets that you have to control in order to obtain existence of solution. So here I listed results on existence of solution. So the first one was we replace the pressure by the total pressure. So by doing so, you don't have this additional term here in the energy balance, so you don't have to control it, and you can obtain energy estimates that provide existence of solution. The second choice we made, we assume that the velocity at the outlets proportional to a given profile. And then in this case, we can control the flux of energy coming in the domain. Numerically, this is so. In the general case, for instance, Charles Taylor had in this team had troubles with not encoding those type of thing, and they choose to impose this type of boundary condition in order to resolve their numerical problems in the general case. So here we prove existence of weak solution. With Leonardo Baffico and Bertrand Maury, we also proved existence of strong solution. So there are related works, in particular from Quartelli and Benizani, and Ewood, Ranacker, and Turek. And in this work, we use the same framework in order to prove existence of I will skip this, of stroke solution. So so the discretization of those equations, so we have considered finite element discretization. We use a solver developed at in RIA. And so after discretization in time, the problem we have to solve is this one, with a bilinear form that takes into account the dissipation of the subtrees and the equation of the stream. So here what you see is all the outlets are coupled and you have non-local terms, so you have to recompute the matrix product vector in order to incorporate those terms which couple all the degree of freedom at the outlets. And here we have the spring motion right here, and you have here an equivalent resistance which will after discretization that it depends on the time step that you have equivalent resistance here. So those are numerical simulation performed on non-realistic geometry where you can see the flux. So here at the outlets, all the resistance are equal. And here at some outlets, we increase those resistance and there are no flux. That's so those are the same numerical simulation, but on a realistic geometry that you saw yesterday. And so this is the same geometry used by which was used by Laurence Vial in her PhD thesis. And here, so this is the pressure field at the peak of expiration. And so here we have put some resistance depending on the generation where the mesh is cut. And here this is all resistance are the same except for I think this one in this outlet. So where we put we increase the resistance, so we can see that there is even a difference in the pressure in the trachea in this case, even by only changing four resistance among I think we have, I don't remember exactly, but so those are the streamline on the at the same time and for the same cases, and the streamline seems to be different. Those are the streamline coming from those are the So next, here this is the displacement. So this is only one cycle. Here this is the displacement of the diaphragm muscle, and here is this is a flux at the inlet. So with this model, we are only capable to have those type of curves. For lung specialists, one way to see if the patients suffer from some pathology is to measure the exhale and inhale volume and flux at the mouth. So you have those type of curves, and this is the volume, and this is the volume versus flow. So and they are really used to read this curve in order to say okay, you have and what is important. So here this is normal respiration at rest, and you inhale and then you exhale, and there are several parameters such as the volumes you can exhale in 1 second and stuff like that. And so with our model, we cannot reproduce this type of curves, because the limitation you see there is due to the fact that you have the chest that enable the lung to inflate. Expand too much, and so we have to take into account this fact. And so, following the, I think Bertrand will present more this problem. We took a nonlinear stiffness depending on the motion, and then we by adjusting the external force, we were able to obtain those type of curves at the mouth. So now I will speak about an ongoing work, which is part of the PhD thesis of Emmanuel Moussa. Which deal with spray air coupling in order to predict the deposition of the particles in the proximal part of the lung. So for the Fried-Navier-Stokes equation and for the spray, we consider a kinetic approach. We consider that there is no secondary droplets when a particle, a droplet hits the wall. There is no splashing, no secondary droplet. So the spray is described by a probability density, so a Vlasov-like equation, and the Fried is described by the Navier-Stokes equation. Here you have the acceleration of the droplet, which is proportional to the difference between the velocity of the Fried and the velocity of the droplet. And so here you have a collision operator, so the droplets may enter in contact and form other droplets. And here you have the dependence with respect to the radius of the droplets. So those are general equations, and we had to make a choice. So there is a classification of the spray, very thin, moderately thick, in function of the collision operator, the fraction of the Fried volume, and the force of the spray acting on the Fried. So the thin, very thin, you have no collision, you have alpha equal 1, and there is no retroaction from the droplet to on the fluid. For thin spray, you have no collision, alpha equal 1, and you have a retroaction. So the program are fully coupled. And those are models where you have retroaction, a proportion, and then the last model is with collision. So the question is, are respiratory aerosols thin or very thin spray? And there are various answers, but here we choose thin spray, where you have a retroaction we choose a thin spray, so I missed something. With no collision, a retroaction, and equal 1. And from the numerical point of view, we have to discretize this density of probability. This is classically done by decomposing the density on sum of Dirac masses, and so we follow the particles with velocity and acceleration, and there is a retraction of, and the coupling, so is the staggered scheme, so we solve once the frill and once the spray. So for this model, we have existence of weak solution, and one difficulty is to control the high velocity of the spray, and maybe for numerical simulation, we with the staggered scheme, we will see instability due to high velocity of the spray. So I have no numerical simulation to show you for this spray free coupling, but we would like to use the model with the spring modeling the motion of the lung parenchyma to obtain physiological pertinent results by, for instance, modifying the resistance and spring stiffness, and to couple it with aerosol transport in order to see if by modifying once again the resistance and the spring stiffness modify the deposition